نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تبارك وتعالى إلى كافة للناس بشيرا ونذيرا أما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فألهمها فجورها وتقواها وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال حجبت النار بالشهوات وحجبت الجنة بالمكارة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected audience, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we had just witnessed the blessed month of Ramadan. And we had seen the situation of the ummah, the situation of the masajid in the month of Ramadan, and we are seeing the situation post-Ramzan, after Ramzan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the guidance and give us the understanding that salah and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only meant for the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be worshipped throughout the year and till the last breath we take. مَا لَمْ يُغَرْقِ The last breath we should be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. As we are all aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world. And this world is a place of examination. We've been tested over here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given humans and jinns a free will. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And both things are present in a human. فُجُورَهَا and تَقْوَاهَا. It's good and bad, both. He needs to understand what is beneficial for me in the year after and what is going to lead me and take me towards the hellfire. And then he should adopt that what will take him to Jannah, to paradise. The Messenger Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala says that our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hell, it is covered, it has curtains of desires, and paradise, Jannah, it has curtains, it is covered with hardships. Now we see, when we live in a house, why do we have curtains on it? So that we cannot see what is going inside the house. So we put curtains on the windows, on the doors, so that the people who are outside, they are not aware what is inside or what is going on inside. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has covered both. It is mentioned in another hadith that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created paradise and hell, he told Hazrat Jibreel ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, go and take a look, visit and see paradise and then see hell. So Hazrat Jibreel ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam went, he took a look at them and he came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, O Jibreel, how did you find paradise? Jibreel says, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a place where everyone will wish and want to go. They will do whatever they can to enter paradise. And what do you say about hell? He said, O Allah, it is a very scary place. I don't think anyone will even want to go near it. Forget entering it. He said, no one will even want to go near it. Okay. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O Jibreel, go again and take a look and come back. So now, if we were there, what would we say? I've just been Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've just seen it. But angels, amanna saddaqna. Whatever is commanded, they do not answer back. You know, nowadays, if you tell our children to do something, what do we get the answer? I've just been there, Dad. There's nothing over there. I've just been at the door. I've just been in the garden. Whatever we say them, they have an answer for us. That's human. Okay? But Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he is an angel, and angels do not have free will. Whatever command they are being given, they fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Hazrat Jibreel ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah says, go and take a look again. He goes back. He takes a look and he comes back. Now he says, now what do you say, Jibreel, about paradise? So he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He put curtains on paradise. You know, like when there are two things, in one plate you can say if there is diamonds, and on the other side it is fire. And if we've been told to take one of them, what will you go and take? We'll go and choose diamonds, you know, because we can see the diamonds. But if there are curtains, and in one place where there are diamonds, there are thorns in front of it, and the other place, there's something which is beautifying and enticing us. So definitely we'll go towards things which are enticing. So similarly over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put curtains on paradise and hell. And what were the curtains? On paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the curtains of desires, our whims, our wishes. So Hazrat Jibreel ala nabina alayhi salatu wasalam said, O Allah, I don't think anyone will enter paradise in this situation. It's very difficult. On paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the curtains of hardships. So he said, it's very hard. I don't think, because hardship to wake up early in the morning for Fajr Salah at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whenever the time changes, especially in our country. So to wake up for Fajr Salah, to go to the masjid, to open the, take our time out, open the Quran and read, it's very difficult for a mu'min, believer. Then also it's very difficult for him. In the month of Ramzan, it's easy. But now we see the month of Ramzan has gone. Now it is very difficult for us to open and read a page of Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. So as Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, it's very difficult to enter paradise because it is being covered. It has curtains of hardship. And what do you say? He's asked, what do you say about hell? So he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I fear that anyone will be saved from it. Why? Because our desires, it is covered with desires. I want to do this. I want this. You know, desires are something that they never finish. A person, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sitting with his companions and he drew a box. And after he drew the box, he took a stick and he drew a straight line which went beyond the box. A straight line which went from one end of the box and it went out of the box from the second side, other side. And within the box, the Prophet ﷺ made lines which were coming towards that single line which was going from the middle. So he sallallahu alayhi wasallam told that this box is the life of a human. And the line which we see, this is the beginning, is the birth of the person, and the end, the box where the box ends, that's the end of a person. And the line which is crossing and going out, that is desires. So a person, you know, even at the age of 60 and 70, if you ask them, no one will say, I want to die. If you're at the age of 70 and 80, if you talk about death, they will get angry. Abhi to main jawan hoon. You're talking about death. You're making dua for me to die. At that age also, that is the time where you should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me and grant me a death with which you are happy with me. But at that time also our desires, at the age of 70 also say, okay, I want to build a house over there, I want to do this. We have desires, and that is what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, that the line which is going outside of the box, that's desires. And the things which are, the lines which are coming towards that line, which is going from the middle, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that these are the good and bad things which a person has in his life. So He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us the explanation that desires are never ever going to be finished. Nafs, we should have control over our nafs. In Bani Israel, there was a man. Whenever he made any dua, his dua was accepted. And people were getting close to him. Hazrat Musa ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came to know that the people are going to such a person who is a non-believer, is a kafir, and they are going towards him and they are getting attracted towards him because he was giving cure to those who are ill, and he was doing duas for each and every person, and that his duas were being accepted. So Hazrat Musa ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam thought that this is a non-Muslim, and he had a fear that if people get attracted towards him, it might happen that many people will leave the folds of Islam. And then at that time, Jewish, the followers of Musa ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they are Jews. So he said that they will leave the religion and go out and become a kafir. So Hazrat Musa ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned that he thought, I should do something and finish this person off. He took a sword, a dagger, and he took it with him. And he went to the person's house, and he knocked on the door. Now, Hazrat Musa, that person has not yet seen Hazrat Musa ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the first time they are going to meet each other. So he knocks on the door. So the person said, Ya Musa, do you want to come in? So Hazrat Musa ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam thought to himself that I have not yet mentioned my name. How did he know that I am here? So Musa ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, okay, yeah, I want to come in. So he said, yes, you can come in, but before you come in, can you please take the dagger which you have brought with you out and then come in? Now Musa ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is shocked. How does he know that I have a dagger? So Hazrat Musa ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam thought, he removed the dagger and he came in. And Musa ala Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw him and said, that why are you a non-believer? Why don't you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept Islam? The person kept quiet for a second, and then he read the kalima and he became a Muslim. Hazrat Musa ala Nabi alayhi salam, more shocked, that such a person who is a non-believer, I just said him once and he accepted Islam. So Hazrat Musa ala Nabi alayhi salam, how is that possible? You know, first of all, how did you know that I was coming? Then you knew that I had a dagger. And now I just told you that please accept Islam and you accepted. So what did he say? The point of what I'm going to say is this, that the person said, O Musa, whenever something is presented on me, whenever someone says something to me, I present it to my nafs. I present it to my nafs. Now, if my nafs likes it, I dislike it. Because what is the nafs? It will not tell you to do good. Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu. The nafs always will tell you to do something what is evil, what is bad. So he says, whenever something is presented over me, I present it to my nafs. If my nafs likes it, what do? I do against it. I dislike it. And if my nafs dislikes it, I like it. You presented, no one has presented iman on me. So that is why I did not accept it. Now you are the person who you presented the iman towards me. You said that accept the kalima and become a Muslim. I presented the Islam to my nafs. My nafs said, no, this is not a good thing. He's trying to trick you. And I understood, if it is not something which my nafs wants, then I should be doing this. It's a good thing. So the key point is that the nafs, our nafs, it will always tell us to do something which is evil, which is wrong, but it is our work to control it. You know, Hazrat Thanvi alayhi rahmah, he said, the example of nafs is of doing something wrong, or following our desires, is like scratching. You know, the person who has illness to scratch, he feels like scratching all the time. And if someone wants to stop him, what will he do? He'll just push him away. No, I want to scratch my body, whichever part he's scratching. Now, he is feeling good. He's enjoying whilst he's scratching. But when he has finished scratching, what will happen? He will see that place. He will have wounds on it. It will be swollen. might even blood might be also coming from that place. So he said that this is the example, that when we do something wrong, we like it, we want to do it, but when we finish, then we start to regret it. And we regret after completing that evil deed. And then because of that evil deed, if we do not repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be punished in the hellfire. Like that person who was enjoying whilst he was scratching, but afterwards he had to suffer the pain, the blood which was coming, the body part, the limb which we are scratching has become swollen, so he has to suffer from the pain afterwards. So similarly, if we do not repent, if we do wrong things and if we do not repent, we have to face the consequences in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability that the way we were worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, the other 11 months also we should be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same manner.